We have been speaking about the Christian's universe. No man's universe can possibly become Christian unless he worships. If all of us knew just how beautiful life as it is lived by Jesus Christ really is, none of us would have any time for any other kind of life. It is not that our imaginations run away with us. Our imaginations are too poor to fully grasp what he has to offer to us. Worship is the quickening of the conscience by the holiness of God. And in the acts of worship, we are led to the confession of our sins. We lay our lives alongside his, and the comparison which we find there moves us to repentance. For every revelation of the nature of God, there comes to us a winsome desire and the power to become what we see. Worship is the quickening of the conscience by the holiness of God. Worship is the feeding of the mind or the edification of the soul by the truth of God. And this is done as we listen to his word, as we read it or recite it, as it is preached from the pulpit, or as we are taught the divine word through the various gifts and offices of the church, or when we listen to the authentic voice of the Spirit speaking in the outward gifts of the gospel, or, more especially, when we have learned to listen in silence to the inner voice which calls us forward and which lifts us up and cheers us, forgives our sins and condemns us in our sins, and offers to us continually the renewal and the benediction of a fresh start. Worship is the feeding of the soul and the mind and the edification of the man by the truth of God. Worship is the cleansing of the imagination by the beauty of God. It comes to us through the singing of hymns, through appreciation of experiences of the race, or as the life of the Master is recreated in us. Imagination is the capacity for free ideas as they are inspired by our desires. And desire, of course, is the hardest part of all our nature to cleanse and sanctify. It is one thing to tell a man to repent and another thing to cause him to do it. How can you quit doing the thing you want to do when you know it's wrong and still want to do it? It is no use for the moralist to say, "Well, here's a code of morals. These you ought to be strong enough to obey." A moral code has some dangers. The dangers are that it makes Pharisees of the people who keep it because they become proud of their achievement, and it thoroughly discourages the people who are unable to live up to it. But the worship of God goes beyond the moral code, deep into the heart of man, and cleanses his desire. Who can look at the cross of Christ and think that sin does not matter to the Almighty? Worship is the opening of our hearts to the love of God. As the Spirit of light and truth sheds its radiance into our lives, our hearts are softened and restored to their natural frame. James Doherty has told about the experience he had when he was lifted into the presence of the Master. He told us that his soul was cleansed. He had no disposition to despise or belittle anybody, and all life was precious to him in that experience. Worship is the opening of our hearts to the love of God. It is a submission or the surrender of our wills to the purpose of God, as this is made manifest to each one of us through all the agencies which God has set in motion in his church. We pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, thy will be done." And this in itself is a petition that we might know his will, that it might be manifest to us. The whole intent of our Lord's Prayer presupposes that union or that communion between God and man, which his nature and his purpose are made known to us. Do you know what God's will is for you? Do you know that there is for you a better self, which lives in the Lord Jesus, which belongs to you, which is unlike and yet like every other self he would create in his ongoing purpose? Do you know that this self that he has for you in him requires that you should tread a certain pathway? If you will seek his light and his truth, he will give you guidance, and you will know the course that you ought to take. For faith is an inward light which sheds its radiance on the pathway ahead, so that you can know the course that you should take. Worship is the gathering of all the facets of our nature, our conscience, our minds, our imaginations, our hearts and our wills, gathering all these facets of our nature into one attitude of adoration, which is the most selfless emotion of which man is capable, the spirit of awe, the spirit that takes your breath away and lifts you out of yourself. You are caught up in a moment of rapture, in a moment eternal, as you worship before the throne of God. Your very nerve cells cry out for the living God, for you know that your sin and transgression have left their record within your body, and that record must be erased, and will be, under the providence and the cleansing power of the love of God. And you say, "We give thanks unto thee for thy great glory." It is in this kind of experience that the revelation of the Lord Jesus is given to men. It is not easy of achievement. Paleontology is not easy. Geography is not easy. Science is not easy. Why should we expect the most comprehensive and diligent of all man's exercises to be easy? Difficult of achievement as true worship is, it is the only way in which we come to see things as God sees them. It is the only way our universe of discourse becomes truly Christian.